Welcome to the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Rightway. I'm your host, Stuart Wilkinson. Today we catch up with Rachel Harris, our HR specialist, to talk everything about staff and Christmas. We cover the Christmas party and how to deal with the Christmas party and make sure everyone behaves themselves. Secondly, what to do if you're a really busy business where you've got lots of staff rostering, people working on public holidays, and what that means for annual leave entitlements and pay, etc. And we also look at about businesses who are shutting down for this period of time and what that means for you and your staff. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you do, please leave a review where you're listening to this podcast and also subscribe so you make sure you get up to date with all the latest podcasts launched by Rightway. Rach, welcome back to third or fourth time on the podcast.
Something like that. Thanks, Stu.
Something like that.
Yes, something first, like that.
A very different environment. The first episode, we were in the middle of lockdown.
Yeah,
wage subsidy had just been just been released. It was all go. So, And we've made it to Christmas. We're recording this on the 1st of December.
Yes.
And this is a bit of an overview on people and managing your people and a lot of questions we've got from customers over the last 2 to 3 weeks in particular, prepping for close down periods and time and lieu and pay and all that kind of stuff. So lots we'll cover today on this. So first place to start, and you know, it's the stuff of customers' nightmares to think that they might get in the New Zealand Herald or Stuff or the Otago Daily Times on the Christmas party that goes wrong. Let's start with that, Rachel. What do people need to do to make sure they protect themselves as an employer, because there's a health and safety aspect there, but also just make sure they remind their staff that to make sure they're doing their best to make sure they've got a job on Monday. So what should people think about when they're looking at organising Christmas parties for staff, et cetera?
Yeah, well, I think you probably touched on it best, Stu, when you said that it is still a health and safety. You know, there is an element to that. Regardless of where the event is held, a Christmas party is still fundamentally a work event. And so health and safety and employment obligations are unavoidable. Before the event, I would recommend employers remind staff of behaviour expectations, particularly if they think they've got a crew that might play up a little bit.
Get a bit loose.
Now that sounds like a bit of a fun police approach. But clear comms, you know, they ensure that employees are aware of behaviour that's acceptable and not acceptable. Yeah. Last week I had a prime example. A customer called because they'd had their business function off-site the week before, and the venue had subsequently made what was really quite a serious complaint. One of my customer's staff members had touched one of the venue's female employees inappropriately, and that had really impacted on that employee, the venue staff member. So then, you know, my customer had to spend considerable time following it up and going through that alleged incident with the employee or with their employee. And as a result, they've now reviewed their policies around bullying and harassment, host responsibility to, you know, making sure that people don't drink too much and they've got enough food, all that sort of thing, as well as the general code of conduct. And they will be now briefing their employees the next time as to what's expected of them, because as well as the general behavioural concerns from an internal perspective, these sorts of incidents, you know, they have the potential to impact on a business's reputation, particularly if they're all out there with their brand on their vehicles in the car park or on their polo shirts or whatever. And also, most importantly, the emotional harm that caused the venue's staff member and, you know, the ongoing impact of that. Yeah. So simple steps, I guess, to think about preparing a safe environment, ensuring managers lead by example, having maybe one sober manager at least who can keep tabs on what's happening, providing transport if necessary, even if it's a discounted taxi chit or whatever, and just making sure that the festivities proceed safely.
Cool. Next area, there'll be a bit more detail we'll go over. There's a lot of questions. We've got people that will shut down over the Christmas break. You know, maybe it's the stat days or just the bits in the middle. Others have 2 to 3 weeks off. And there's a lot of questions we get from business owners around what their entitlements around pay are, and especially when they've got staff who are maybe working on statutory holidays and what that means. So I guess let's start, Rach, on look, if you are if you've got employees, and I guess especially if you're HOSPO and this is a busy time of year, you're going to have people that are working on public holidays. What is the requirement legally that a business owner must do around pay and also leave entitlements subsequently from them working on a public holiday?
Yeah, for sure. So this year we have two public holidays that fall during a weekend. They will be Mondayized, what we call Mondayized for those of us who don't normally work during the weekend. So this year, Boxing Day will be Mondayized to the 28th of December, and also the day after New Year's Day will be Mondayized to the 4th of January. So for the likes of you and I, Stu, who work Monday to Friday, we will have the observance of those 2 days. So we keep, you know, actually able to observe those 2 days. We will have the Mondayized, so we get 2 paid days off. Now, you might have an employee who normally works a Saturday and a Monday.
Yes.
In this case, the employee, they're not allowed to double dip when it comes to public holidays. They can't get the Saturday and the Monday. So he or she will only be permitted to observe one of those days. So it's a good time to be thinking ahead of those particular situations, think them through in advance. Who are you going to have rostered on? What day they're going to be observing? What will they be paid? That sort of thing is really important. When it comes to actually working the public holiday, all employees must be paid at least time and a half. So time and a half is in the legislation. Some really generous employers pay double time, whatever, but time and a half is the minimum, regardless. And now this is regardless of whether they are permanent, fixed term, or casual. So they all get a minimum of time and a half. Now, it gets a little bit tricky when it comes to what we call the loo day or the alternative day off. So if you work a public holiday, you may be entitled to another day on top of that to enjoy down the track. Now, this will come down to whether or not that employee would normally have worked on that day. So if you have a regular pattern of work, say, for example, Monday to Friday, or you're on a recurring roster, so every fourth week you know you're going to work a weekend, for example, that is quite straightforward to determine. But it can get tricky if you have, say, a casual employee, and there's a possibility that a pattern of hours has begun to sneak in. So maybe the last month or so they've worked 2 Mondays and there's going to be a public holiday on a Monday, or would they expect to have worked that Monday? That's where it gets a little bit more grey now. Because of you know, so many variables, I'm going to defer to a really good source of information here, which is the government's. There's a government website called Employment New Zealand. Now, on that site, there is an outline. There is an online tool where you can enter in the specifics of the particular employee, and it will guide you through to the appropriate solution or advice. So, for the purposes of the podcast, the simplest way for listeners to find that tool is to open up Google and throw in otherwise working day calculator into Google, and it will take them through to the website, and there's some supporting information and there's some boxes that you just fill in with the particulars of that employee, and that'll tell you whether or not an alternative day holiday is probably going to have to be paid on top of the time and a half. So that's a good wee tool to be able to use.
Cool. And we'll put that in the show notes as
well. That'd be a good idea.
We'll put that there so people can then look. So I guess the first message, I guess, that Rach is being proactive on this. It's not, you know, I guess people will get caught out if there is no feedback or no sort of update to the staff, and staff go off thinking one thing when actually another thing is going to happen. So pre-planning your rostering, as you said, and what you're doing with staff and communicating well what that means is probably the first key tip out of this this podcast.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I guess that probably the first thing I would do is actually plan your resourcing, and I'm sure most businesses are already doing that. And planning whether or not you actually need people on deck or not, and it's probably a good chance to touch on close down periods, because it's usually you either have staff on deck or you don't. So it's quite common for employers to have traditional close down periods over Christmas and New Year, but they do need to be managed lawfully, and there's some guide or there are some rules around close down periods. So I guess the key aspects to think about is you can only have one close down in each 12-month period. So,
interesting. I didn't know that.
So back in one of the pieces of advice that was coming out around the lockdown with COVID was employers might like to think about maybe putting in a close down as a way of maybe putting staff on leave without needing to, putting in a leave period so people didn't have to keep trading through, but, you know, and have people away. So you can only have one close down per 12-month period. So if you used a close down period during the alert level, you know, alert level four, whatever it was.
Four.
You won't be able to use one again in Christmas, New Year. Now, not too many employers were actually putting in close down periods during COVID. Yes. So we were probably okay. Now, it also needs to be a customary practice. So, in other words, you generally needed to have had closed down periods in previous years. So, there needs to be reasonable tradition around this. You need to provide appropriate notice to your staff. And your staff really do need to be made aware that the business does have a customary close down period during which they are expected to take annual leave. Now, what I mean by this is you might take on a new staff member and they love going skiing mid-winter and they generally take 2 or 3 weeks off in the middle of winter to go skiing. It's a really good idea, really recommended, to have in your employment agreement that you have a customary close down period over Christmas, New Year, for example, so they can manage their leave and they know that there is actually going to have to be a period that they will need to take leave over summer. So you can close down all of your business, or you can just close down part of it. So, for example, you might have frontline staff that you'll need. You might be customer facing, but you might have a team of back office staff that you don't need. So you could actually split that group off and have a close down just for that back office team. You have to give your staff 14 days notice in writing of a close down. So this year, by around the 11th of December, give or take, you'll want to have given your staff notice if you require them to take leave over Christmas and New Year. If you don't have a customary close down period that your employees are aware of, but you don't want to trade through this year, then you'll need to talk to your team and ask if they would agree to take some leave. This year has been obviously quite unique because of the impact COVID has had. Now, here in Dunedin, where I'm based, for example, we won't be experiencing the really busy cruise ship season, for example. So for some businesses, there may not be the same desire or demand to trade through like they have over previous summers. So it's a matter of talking to your team and just finding out whether or not they would be agreeable to taking leave, but get onto it sooner rather than later so they can start to make plans for themselves.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Yeah. And then with employers, you know, there's with people taking a lot of leave at this time, I guess it got the polar opposite. Well, people are really busy. People are shutting down. Mm. You know, I guess always we get the question, how do I work my leave out or how do I roster from both and casual staff? Because I guess you talked about there, Rach, says if I've got casual staff, which I then need to roster on, there's the question about days in lieu and all that sort of stuff and making sure that's clear. But also, you know, how much leave do I give casual staff? What advice have you got around casual staff and how you work around what entitlements they've got for either case study?
Yeah, so if you've got casual employees and they're a great resource because it means that you can allow your permanent staff to take a break over Christmas, New Year, and the casuals are usually quite keen to work. So it's a good solution to have. So if you don't have so long as you don't have a pattern starting to creep in with your casual employees, you know, they're very much on call as you require them, no pattern of hours or work. You can bring them in for a public holiday, they get paid a minimum of time and a half, but they don't get a loo day unless they meet that test that we talked about earlier of whether or not they might have expected to have worked that day had it not been a public holiday. In terms of annual leave and that sort of thing, I mean, the casuals get paid generally an 8% loading anyway. They get paid as they go for annual leave. So they're, as I say, they're a good resource to have. When it comes to employees who might be taking leave over Christmas because you've got a close down, though, Now, whether or not they're paid will depend on whether or not they've built up enough annual holidays, or maybe that they've you might have agreed that they can take annual holidays in advance. So normally you have to work a full 12 months to get your annual leave entitlement. You accrue as you go, but then come your anniversary date, you get that entitlement. So you may actually say, look, you know, we've got, I don't know, 10 days coming up. You can take that in advance, and when yes. your anniversary hits, then you'll just be in arrears almost. Or they can take leave without pay if they've only been with you a very short period of time. There might be an agreement to doing that. So it's really just something you need to look at on a case-by-case basis, and you know, seek advice if you're not sure, because there is, as I say, there's so many variables to yes. this time of the year. Yeah.
One of the things that we sort of actually for this podcast went to our bookkeeping team who deal with a lot of our customers on payroll and stuff. And so one of their pieces of advice that Kay came back to us was that for business owners, especially if you've got salary employees and that sort of stuff, it makes it a lot easier. A lot of the pre-work you might need to do around your pay runs and all that sort of stuff can get pre-done through your software, especially if it's a cloud one based one like iPayroll, PaySauce, those sort of things, Smart Payroll. So I know there's a lot of pressure on business owners thinking, I'm away from the office, how the heck do I make sure I get people paid? So that doesn't necessarily mean you might still have to do some of the online banking for the payment, but just have a look at your software to see if you can do some of the prep in advance for some of your pay. If you need support, we'll put a link down for us, so if you want a bit of a chat with our bookkeeping team about that. But do you know, you can do this advance and don't have to worry about it when you go away. The only caveat there is that we've got a lot of clients who, to your point, Rach, it's their busy time of year, and so they've got rostering and are going to be quite clear on when they do their pay runs and based on. Because what is the, I guess, legal side here, Rach, on when a normal pay run often can fill, like might land on a public holiday. Then there's what actually goes out of the bank, and that can sometimes be delayed. What is the legal side of the pay run versus when the money goes into someone's bank account? That's a curveball question we haven't prepared for, by the way, but I'm just going to throw it at Rachel because it just came up.
That's a really good question, actually. I'm not sure what happens at the back end of it in terms of the bank and all that sort of thing. I assume that it's business as usual for them, but I know if you've got, you know, you have an obligation to pay your employees on the day that you specify in the employment agreement. You know, there's got to be some expectations around that, because obviously they've got those automatic payments coming out and that sort of thing. If you do need to change that for whatever reason, you just need to make sure you communicate and give your staff plenty of notice if there's anything that's going to happen over Christmas that might throw that out by a day or so. But do the checking now, so there's no surprises come the time, and make sure you communicate with your team if there's any change whatsoever.
Cool. And I go, like, I know from my experience of us and other employees, the obvious thing is to bring it forward a few days. Don't do the other side. Always try and bring it forward. So if it lands on a public holiday, we do it the day or three couple of days before. So
yeah, exactly.
People are not, as you said, your employees are not caught short.
No.
I guess that's kind of the main points, Rach. Any sort of final tips? Like, I guess my takeaway that I'm learning from this is communication is key through this time. Doesn't matter if it's a busy time of year or a time where you're shutting down.
Yep, absolutely. And also there was one other question that cropped up from our bookkeepers over recent weeks, is the swapping out of annual leave for sick leave. So, you know, when you've got maybe staff on leave for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks over Christmas, New Year, you know, sometimes sickness can arise. And so if an employee or a dependent of that employee falls ill while they're on holiday, the employer can treat that period as sick leave, but there is actually no obligation for the employer to do so. So because employers have discretion in that, they can place certain requirements around an employee's claim. Say, for example, you're an employer or a manager and you get a text from an employee saying, oh, gosh, I'm on holiday, but I've just phoned up sick, or I'm feeling sick. Let them know, get to a doctor, get a medical certificate, and then you'll give consideration to it. So you don't have to convert it to annual to sick leave, but definitely give it some consideration, particularly if they've got a medical certificate to support it. If Sickness occurs prior to the leave starting, the annual leave starting, then you must allow the employee to take that time as sick leave, and it should not be deducted from their annual leave entitlement. So it really is a timing thing. Unfortunately, things do happen when we're on holiday, and yeah, our holidays are ruined because we come down with something. there's no obligation, but just communicate with your staff member and see if they can get a medical certificate to support it, and then, you know, give it your consideration.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today, Rach. And I know
it's all right.
It's a time where we get a lot of questions around pay runs and staff leave and all that sort of stuff. So thanks for spending some time and clearing that all up.
No problem at all, Stu. Thanks for having me.